company, municipality, individual, or anyone or anything.
He's a surgeon. He's a 100-ton boat captain. He's a lieutenant on Seaside Heights Beach Patrol in New Jersey. He's a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Need answers to your medical questions? We have them. Listen in to hear latest on medical topics related to all that and more.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Welcome to Scrubbing Up with Dr. Michael Ketchmar.
That's right.
And today's date is January the 26th, excuse me, the year of our Lord.
2024.
And we have today, returning to the silver screen.
Triumphantly,
yeah. Jeremy. So Jeremy's been with me for many, 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 many years, and he's back up on the saddle. I've been out of commission. I've had some surgeries on my shoulder. I'm actually having another one on my shoulder. My right shoulder Tuesday. Yeah. But anyway, I'm a doctor of podiatric medicine. I'm a board-certified reconstructive foot and ankle surgeon. I'm on staff at multiple hospitals. I do surgery in the hospital. I've been in practice for 30 years. And this is a medical, political show. We talk about a lot of different things.
Mixed bag.
So yeah. we're going to do a short show today because we're just kind of introducing Jeremy back to the fold.
Right.
And Jeremy, is there anything, everything, you're hanging in there? You've been doing shows with Dr.
Yeah.
Jasper.
Yeah, and Dr. Schneider. We've been doing it right here. It's just you and I have been just trying to find a way to get back together here.
So, and Jeremy on the side, he goes down to the border and investigates these people.
This illegal border crossing. What's her name?
Special
Corinne Jean-Pierre doesn't believe it actually happens.
You're looking for special interest aliens. There's about 100,000 of them. But today I want to talk a little bit about something medicine because, in this country we still execute people. If they get convicted of a crime, there's still states that kill people, execute them. And the problem is that they don't have what's a good way to kill somebody. So they used to chop people's heads off. They used to hang them, and recently in the past 20 years, they were using lethal injection. The problem is no doctor is going to lethally inject these patients. Although it's interesting now you have euthanasia in the United States. In New Jersey, they'll kill you for $6,000. In Canada, they're often people who are sick. The government pays for it. And now if you're mentally ill, they're going to knock you off. But in the United States, a convicted individual, theoretically they're healthy, they're not going to knock them off. So it's been a hard time for these institutions, these prisons, to get the drugs to do lethal injection.
Don't you think it's a little crazy that we always have these debates about what's the better way of doing it when the end result is always the same. And I think that the prisoners themselves couldn't care less. I mean, they're dying anyway.
You don't want to suffer.
It's the people looking on. It's the people walking away and having to live their lives. That's where the debates are about.
I disagree. Listen, what if back in the Chinese emperor days, they would kill you by they said death by 3,650 cuts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, or they skin you alive.
Right.
Oh, so you don't care? I mean, so we're going to skin you
all right. No, I get it. I get that. But we're not there, though. We're not there.
Well, all right. I'm just saying.
How different is gas and lethal injection?
Well, I'm going to talk about that now.
Okay, what I want to hear.
Well, I tell you what. You talk about gassing. I mean, we talk about Hitler. I mean, one of the ways that they got rid of these people is they gassed. There's a lot of ways to gas somebody, but I just want to bring it back. We used to have the gas chamber back in the day. And they would put you in this chamber, and there was a bucket of fluid in the bottom. They would drop these capsules in there, and it would produce this poisonous gas. Yeah. And, you start, breathing it, and, basically you suffocate. It paralyzed you. You couldn't breathe anymore. Same thing with, arsenic, the suicide pills,
Sure.
You chew on that. and it paralyzes you basically, and then you stop breathing, you can't breathe, and then you die. And it's not, I don't know how great of a way to go is, but you know, is there any way, good way to go? I mean, if you get an anesthesiologist like Dr. Jasper, and he can knock you out, you won't know what hit you, you know? Right. So this guy here, his name is, they just executed him last night or 2 days ago. His name is Kenneth Eugene Smith. Now, I don't really think it matters, you know, what he did, but basically him
let's start with that, yeah.
Well, him and two, him and, read, the way I read it is him and two other guys were hired by a bracket, believe it or not, a reverend. Huh. The reverend had these guys kill his wife for the insurance money. And in fact, when the shit hit the fan and they found out about it, the reverend killed himself, you know, committed suicide. And this guy, this poor guy here, was convicted and then acquitted. And, you know, they actually tried to execute him one time before. They couldn't get a vein on him. Mm. So and then they put him back in his cell.
Do we know how the reverend executed himself?
No, reverend killed himself. How he killed himself, I don't know.
All right, see, there was no debate about that.
yeah, let me just see. Media witness. I don't know. I'm trying to read here. So there was three people. So I think anybody witness knows. So going here, there was Charles Sennett hired by Smith. So the Reverend Charles, S-E-N-N-E-T-T. Let's pull this up here. Let's do this.
Yeah, sure.
Pull the iPad up. So let me just show. Here's the individual here. So people who are on the podcast, they can't see this, but we have a picture here. This is from the Alabama Reflector. I guess it's a periodical.
Wait a minute. Hold up. What? Go back to that picture. Did he have to be smiling? Is that the one we're using?
He's a poor guy. I mean, the guy's like, he sounds like he's a really nice guy now, you know? I mean, so he made a mistake. So anyway, so the deal is the woman who was killed, I guess.
Reverend Charles Sennett's wife.
Yeah, hired Smith, John Forrest Parker, and Billy Gray Williams to kill his wife in order to collect insurance money, according to the records. Parker and Smith entered the home where Elizabeth Summit was killed. All three were convicted of her death. Parker was executed in 2010. Williams, sentenced to life in prison, died in 2020. Reverend Charles Summit died by suicide a week after his wife's death. So I guess he was remorseful. Yeah. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so, it does, you know, here's the thing. But poor guy, though, they tried killing him one time before. He had to go back. I mean, just on that, if they can't get the needle in you, I would have called it a day, you know, and let the poor guy go.
Oh, here's how it feels. This Pittman explains, you basically black out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There is no time for pain or anything else. In fact, nitrous oxide is a way of reducing pain. For reducing surgeries.
No, well, I tell you what. I tell you what. There's people who have there's veterinarians that don't use it because it's you know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, so people could look into it. But my whole thing, I'll tell you what my feelings are on it. You could go back to me.
Yeah, sure.
Go back to me. Yeah. And here's the thing. The whole thing, I'm against capital punishment. I don't think we should be killing anybody. I think, but that's just me. You know, but the argument is, if we are going to kill somebody, how are you going to do it? And this gassing is really interesting to me. You're suffocating somebody. But here's the thing. I know you're kind of like, well, it doesn't matter. You chop their head off. You know, you shoot them. You electrocute them.
I'm still in the conversational stage. All right. Like I haven't put myself on one way or another, really. In fact, hearing this story, I'm caught up on how anybody approached by a reverend, right, who tells them, I need you to kill my wife.
It's called money.
Oh, man.
It's money.
But like the hypocrisy on both sides.
Right, right, right. Well, the thing here, I just want to make a point about this gas. Yeah. You know, if you want, I could do it real cheap. Just, you know,
did you miss me just going on tangents?
Listen, put the guy in a room. Put the guy in a fucking, put him in his car.
Right, right.
You want to kill the guy? Bring the guy out. Start a car up. Any car in a parking lot. The who's the guy who runs the penitentiary? You know.
The warden.
The warden. Get the warden's car. Put the guy in the front seat. Put the music on. take a pipe from the exhaust, put it in the friggin' window, and he'll be dead in about half hour.
Yeah.
He'll pass out, you know. I mean, I don't need any of this shit. Just, well, we took the guy out to the car, you know, he put Led Zeppelin on his favorite tunes, and we put the exhaust pipe in there, and that was the end of it. I mean, kumbaya. But point is that it never ceases to amaze me how fucked up, excuse my language, the government could be, you know, and they, you know, they say, well this was his choice. No, they gave him two choices. Mm. Lethal injection or gas. Well, they tried lethal injection and they couldn't get a vein on him. So they gave you, what is your, they say you have two choices, A and B. So what are they? Well, injection or gas. So he picks injection, and then by default, it's gas, is B. Well, A didn't work, so they hit him up with B. Right. He didn't want either of them. You know, it's like, right. It's not like, then in the newspapers, they go, well, he chose B. Well, no, he didn't. You know, and I just want to go back and say that, you know, we've been, you know, gas, anyway, there's no, the best way, you know,
there's
how
not
to,
a lot of choices.
No, you know the best way to kill somebody? I'll tell you how to do it. Okay. And this was on a movie I watched. So there was a movie, it was called In the Heart of the Night. It was Carol Connor, and, you know, the first movie was with.
In the Heat of the Night.
In the Heat of the Night, excuse me, yes. And the first movie was with, it was a powerful movie.
Chief Gillespie. And
It was, he won an award. There was the black guy who played
Tibbs.
Friggin' the first movie. So it was the movie. Rod Steiger was the cop. And who was the other guy? He won a ton of awards. He'll name the company. But when they had the TV series.
Oh, Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yeah. Powerful. Powerful.
Did you know that's my favorite movie of all time?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, no, yes, no. It is. Yes.
That Sidney Poitier, how do you pronounce his last name?
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, he was a powerful, powerful actor. And in that movie, man, so anyway. But
everybody
then,
gives it to him, but Rod Steiger?
Rod Steiger, Steiger.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, you got to watch Steiger. He was on the waterfront, you know, but Steiger's good. But let me get back to this. So the Heat of Night, there was the same thing. There was a guy, you know, Gillespie and Tubbs, they got this guy. And he was in the car. There was a murder, you know, so he's accessory. So he was going to get executed.
Right.
And they wanted, and the guy who was going to get killed, executed, asked for Gillespie to be his witness, you know.
I saw that.
Right. So the follow-up, you know what I'm saying? And he went there, and it was horrible. The guy died. You know, I don't know if he suffered. I think it was electric chair or they gassed him or whatever. And they came back. And one of the cops there, Tubbs or whatever, is like, you know, he got what he deserved and everything, you know. And Gillespie saw the other side of it, you know, the inhumanity of it and the suffering of it. And, you know, dragging a guy down to the chair. And you know what he said? He said this, and it all stick with me. He goes, you know what would be inhumane, a way to execute somebody? Walk up to him and say, listen, you're pardoned. We're not going to execute you. Go back to your cell. And when he turns around, shoot him right in the back of the head. He goes, that's the best way.
That's the best way.
And, you know, that stuck with me. So
if they never see it coming.
Right.
And it's instant.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, how about, listen, we're going to execute you some, you know, you're not going to be executed. But then have a secret trial. You're going to be executed. And, you know, at night when you're sleeping or whatever, just going, boom, and that's it. Done.
And Carol O'Connor was great. Yeah.
So anyway, that's one. So we could talk about a couple other things. We have a little time, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
So there's a couple other issues. I wanted to talk about, and this is medicine, the governor, not the governor, the mayor of New York City, okay?
Okay.
He came out and declared a health emergency with regard to social media. Mm. This is New York City, the mayor.
Right.
And so that may or may not give him wide-ranging power. And this is, again, you know, remember with Corona, the governors, mayors, the executive branch declared an emergency, state of emergency, medical emergency. Yeah. And by doing that...
Couldn't talk about anything.
No, doing that, they basically took a lot of your rights away.
Yeah.
Temporarily. And, you know, we're starting to get them back, but
first
still.
First and foremost, your freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, think about what this mayor is doing in New York City. You might want to look up his name for me. Abrams, I think it is.
Abrams, you're right.
And but look at his full name.
I'm gonna.
So he's saying that media is bad. Okay, you know, media could be bad. It could be good. Social media. I'm on social media all the time. I use it, I think, effectively.
Eric Abrams,
thank you. And he declared media as a health emergency, health problem. And that, to me, is very scary. Because now what are you going to do? So he's going to decide. So where is it? How does it become a health? How does it hurt your health?
Right.
How does it hurt your health? Well, you look at it, and it's going to make you jump off the roof. It's going to make you commit crimes. It's, you know, same thing. Back in the day, Ozzy Osbourne, he belonged to a band that was called Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And they had a song that some people said sounded satanic. And a kid committed suicide, and the family sued the band.
Yeah,
it was a big case.
Yeah.
And the court said, well, no, you know, music doesn't cause that, or if it does, you know, it's free speech. Same thing with, you know, all the video games.
Right.
So it's one thing you could sue civilly, but now when you have an executive branch, and the mayor who's the executor of that city, and he declares officially that social media, which is a vague term, is a health hazard. Well, what can he do? Can he sanction it? If I decide to say, hey, Jeremy, you know, we have rats in the city, that's a health hazard. Or, we have an epidemic, you know, of measles, we're going to force you to get a shot. Oh, if he decides that the social media and what's on social media is a health hazard, is he going to restrict it? And he's going to say, well, Jeremy, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. That's disinformation. That's going to hurt people. So if I want to sit here and say about gender-affirming treatment, I may criticize it or praise it.
Oh.
Well, he's going to say, well, you're hurting people. By you having a position one way or the other, you're going to be hurting people. So you're hurting their health. Or about abortion. Yeah. Or it goes on and on. So here you have an individual that's going, in my opinion, has a potential to sidestep the Second Amendment.
But that's going
First Amendment.
That's
the First
going under
Amendment.
The assumption that everything that you are going to bring is wholly the truth. You know? And that can't possibly be so.
Well, that's another thing. Well, you could make a good point. And so who's going to be the arbiter? Who's going to decide what's true and not true?
Yeah. Well, that's it.
But when you have the law.
But when you try to pass something like that, you're then giving yourself the ability to scrutinize every little thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yes.
Everything that comes across from here on out,
yeah.
You're going to decide what I'm going to believe.
Right, right. It's basically slaps in the face of the First Amendment, you know, free speech.
Because it's not enough. It's not enough to squelch your freedom of speech. Now they want to change how your brain is thinking about things.
Well, that's a secondary. That's a secondary thing.
You see what I mean,
though? But their ultimate goal is to stifle speech.
Yeah.
You know,
they also want to make you think what they want to think, what want you to think.
Well, but that's, but one way to do that is not let, right. But that is also, that's the secondary thing. But the main thing is to stop you from telling, you know, your side of story, which could influence other people, which then sets the agenda. Now, you know, telling you what to think. Yeah, that's the next phase of communism. They did that. Well, Pol Pot did that, and Stalin did that, and Mao did that. You know, you get reconditioned. You know, blue is, you know, this, you know, a woman is, you know, there is, what's the definition of woman? So what happened in Pol Pot, if you really want to see the extent of craziness, you had this cult. It was, you know, there was fanaticism. And if you didn't go by the party line, they'd kill you. And it actually, what even got worse is that they not only killed you, but they tortured you. They actually had this crazy thing that they would torture you and then kill you. You're lucky if you just got killed above the
bat. Because you had to learn a lesson first.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and other people had to see that. They killed about 2 million people in Cambodia. It was called the killing fields.
Yeah.
Mao killed about 60 million. So my point is that, you know, this is again, maybe he's got good intentions. And a lot of these people have good intentions, but you can't go down that road of this sanctioning or threatening free speech. They try to do this in Germany, and it's crazy. So I just want to throw that out. I think that it's very dangerous. I'd vote that guy out just on that. Mm. And I think that, you know, going forward, people want to know, you know, like, all bent out of shape, oh, democracy. Well, where's my democracy if you're going to tell me what I could talk about and not talk about?
Yeah.
That's not right. And free speech has, you have to allow speech that you do not like and speech that may be inappropriate, not foul language, but it may give a message that's false. People, give the American citizens the ability to make the decision. Now, if you say young kids shouldn't, let me make a point. Young kids shouldn't be able to listen to social media. Let's just say he says young children, it's very bad for them. All right, that's fine. But what about young children making decisions on gender-affirming treatment? Should we allow them to do that? If they're so persuadable, should we let them listen to social media? Which brings up my last point. But, what were you going to say, Jeremy? You had a thought about that.
I was going to say, look what they did in Canada, all right? But we're gonna use the church.
Oh, they're bad there.
The church, an example. Bad. When they were trying to tell a preacher what he could or could not preach.
They locked him up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're really looking at here. When it affects, I mean, there's that separation between church
and
state.
Right.
I mean, holy smokes.
I just watched the Tucker Carlson episode.
Who's going to escape hanging?
No, he interviewed an individual from Canada. Basically, Canada, all their media is state, country, you know, sanction. Sanction. Those people are under thumb. I they have euthanasia. They're killing. You could get killed, but the government will knock you off if you're sick. Oh, yeah. If you're mentally ill, they'll pay for it. I mean, their medicine, their quality of care is going down the tubes. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful place, but they're talk about a democratic socialist country and society, and the people are really upset about it. I was just up in Nova Scotia, and the people they
friends up there.
Yeah, they weren't happy with. With the government and taking the guns away and all kinds of stuff. So it's very bad. But this thing with the New York mayor and his health care, this is where I think that a lot of the states are gonna have to really look at the emergency powers of the state and whether or not they should wean it down. There are some states that want to take the power away from the executive branch if they declare emergency. Get to think about this, Jeremy. The governor of New Jersey declared a state of emergency and also a health emergency. Basically, that suspends a lot of your rights. You understand that? A lot of people don't understand that, and they did. So, same thing with the federal government. You know, Trump and then Biden, they basically had a state of emergency. And like Lincoln, when the Civil War was going on, he suspended habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is basically where, you know, you got to go in front of a judge if you get arrested. In fact, you know, we could take it another day. We could talk about thing about, due process. Mm. I mean, that's due process is a definition. It's a specific, you're supposed to have what's due process. You should be able to go in front of a judge, a jury, you know, give your side a story. And like right now, what's going on with Trump, you can say whatever you want to say. That he's not getting due process. Right. And that's, you talk about democracy. These idiots, and I listen to people on the internet, they're so obtuse. They have no idea what they're talking about. You know, democracy. They don't even know what democracy, right. You know, difference between democracy and a constitutional republic. But the due process. So anyway, one other topic I want to talk about.
Yeah, please.
And this is you know, we're just talking about free speech and all that. So here's the deal with children now. We talked about this a little bit on the drive over here, and I really going to have a show dedicated to this.
Yeah.
With this gender, so you have gender dysphoria. So the definition of gender dysphoria is many, but it's basically when you have a dysphoria about your gender. You know, you don't know if you're a boy or a girl in your body. You could have a boy's body or a girl's body. So, and there's other things that are under that definition, and I let the people who are listening to me go and look it up. It's called gender dysphoria. Now, when you have gender dysphoria, well, of course, you got to fix it. So you have gender-affirming treatment.
Right.
Okay? Just get the words right. Now, gender-affirming treatment is and can be medication, okay? And they are basically puberty blockers. They stop the process of puberty when you, you know, as you get older, you go through puberty. There's psychological counseling, you know, counseling.
Yeah.
And then surgery. So those are about the three things, okay? So medication, surgery, and counseling.
Counseling.
All right. Now, it's been going on for years and years and years. I know they've had gender-affirming treatment in, I think, Colorado. They did a 60-minute piece probably 30 years ago, 40 years ago. People, and they've had it in different countries, so it's nothing new.
Yeah, I remember Bill Clinton talking about it at some point.
No, he was talking. No, I think he was talking about, you know, BJ's.
Oh, was he?
No, he wasn't talking about. He was talking about.
Yeah. No, that might have been it.
I don't think he was ever talking about gender affirming. He was talking about. He might be talking about affirming his gender.
That's it. I was looking for the words for that, but you beat me to it.
He was affirming his gender, which was a stud male. I don't think I think he got a little confused on that one. No, no. He showed Monica Lewinsky what his gender was for sure. So anyway, so you have these treatments. So here's where and I'm just talking about this broadly because it's really interesting. Because free speech and, you know, children and all this. So now you have and it was always done on, you know, adults. They had their surgery done. And there wasn't too many people bitch moaning around groaning about it, right? But now you have these children who are they're suggesting they'd have surgery in these children and counseling and medication. And there's a lot of medical professionals who want this, and there's other ones who don't want it. And I think the literature is not as clear as a lot of people think. But here's my point about all of this. You know, because this is where they talk about, you know, if you talk about it, you could get jammed up, you know, your gender affirming treatment and who should or should not. But here's where I see so many different things going on with this. First of all, you have an argument or a discussion of, can a child make a medical decision on their own? 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, anybody under 18, can they make a decision whether or not to have surgery, to, you know, buy
how
a car?
How old are you when your brain is fully developed?
Probably never, but, you know. That's a good point.
That's the solid argument, but that's the argument everybody, like, oh, of course you're going to say something like that. Yeah,
right. Well,
no, but it makes sense.
But follow me this one, and you could talk about each one. So when does a child, or is there a time where they could make their own decisions, and should they? Number two is, on that, does the child have the rights? You know, if the child needs something, can the state step in and give it to the child? Where does the parents come in? Does the parents have the right to decide on the child's welfare, whether or not they should have surgery or they should go to school or whatever? So you have this thing. Forget about the surgery aspect, you know, gender affirming treatment. Can a child decide, oh, I want to have my foot operated on? And he's 10 years old. Should he be able to come in my office and sign a consent and I could operate on him? Okay, that's number one. Number two is, can the parents or should the parents have control over the children, whatever happens to them? So that's the second thing going on. And then, of course, should the state be involved? Now, whether or not the child should have surgery or not and when, but there's this whole thing from the 14th Amendment. You know, I don't know what other amendment it is, but you know, their rights. So you're going to have a battle in this country. In Virginia, Youngkin won based on one of the things he was pushing was that parents have the right to decide on our children's and the children's care. So think about it now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you, you know, as a kid under 18, can they make their own decision on a procedure done to their body? Yes or no? Or under 18.
Is this a can or a should question?
Well, I can tell you in New Jersey, if you're under 18 and you're a girl and you're pregnant, you can have an abortion paid by the state without parental consent. You can consent to yourself. You're 12 years old, you're pregnant, you can consent to an abortion. Now, is an abortion a dangerous procedure? Not really, but it is a procedure and it could be mentally devastating.
Yeah.
So my point is that, you know, so why not, if the kid wants to go on puberty blockers at 12, Why don't you give them the right to do that? They can make their own decision. Here, let's just say this, and I know this is crazy questions, but you got, let's see, there's a girl 12 years old, and she's pregnant, okay? And she wants to have the baby. And the parents say, listen, you're too young. You're going to ruin your life. We want you to have an abortion. Can they force her to have an abortion? Yeah. Wait, hold that thought now. Now, the next one is, what if she's pregnant again? She's pregnant again, but she wants to have an abortion. And the parents say, no, we don't want you to have an abortion.
Yeah.
Two sides of the coin. So tell me, so wrestle on that. First one, the girl's pregnant and she wants to have the baby, and you're the father and saying, not the father of the baby, but the father of the daughter, of the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And should you be able to force her to have an abortion?
I like how you give me the questions where no matter what I say, I'm a big shitheel, you know?
That's what I'm paid for.
That's
why I get paid the big money. That's why I get paid the big money. All right, I just want to let you know.
I would say.
I make you think. See, you go along your life, flowers in the air, you know, look at the clouds go by, and then you come here, and I give you this, like, bang, and like, you know.
But you know,
yeah, think about
my
it,
reaction.
Think about what's your gut reaction?
My reaction to that question is an answer in and of itself. Like, if I paused long enough and like in shock of some of such a question, that already tells you how I feel about it. It's something that needs to be given so much more thought than just a quick rifle off me an answer, you know? And that's where it is, I think, But
so you didn't answer. So you should be a politician because you didn't answer the question.
I didn't answer the question. No, I evaded.
You evaded.
I gave you a bunch of crap that sounded good.
You did more than evade. You sent me down another alley. You sent me a different. You know.
Well, here's another alley. Okay, because I've been thinking about it for a while now. So when you were in high school, were there any things that you were really into?
Well, things, you know, my
things
sports.
Things that you swore by, but you don't even think about it today. Unless somebody brings it up, and then even then you're like, oh, frick, I haven't thought about that. And
well, I don't know. That's good. I mean,
but everybody's got that.
Yeah,
see, and I mean, that's my point with this whole thing. And this might be my answer, okay? There is so much I used to be into when I was a kid. And it was my whole life then.
Right.
And now I'm an adult. I couldn't remember half of what I was into back then. Okay. So to make such a life changing decision, there's got to be a lot more thought put into that because you grow up and you forget girlfriends' names.
Right.
You know, girls that you had relationships, you can't remember their names.
Yeah.
So you're going to make a decision on whether I should have my breasts removed and become a boy with, you know.
So your position is the child, anybody under 18 or very young, they don't have the capacity to make these decisions.
Not at all.
Okay, so let me, and I agree with you. So
because when you're that young and something in school, you can go home and say, it's ruined my life, and you still don't know what a life is.
All right, and that's why I asked that question, and I agree with you 100%. I don't think a child who's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
was
10,
that a good answer?
Yeah, no, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I baited you into that. I knew exactly what you were going to say before you said it, because I wanted you, I manipulated.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was kidding around, but no, seriously. That's the only logical thing to come up with.
Right.
No. We all know intuitively, we don't need to have studies done. Our life experience, I mean, shows us. You have kids, I've had kids. They're idiots. I mean, you know, they're not idiots, but, you know, my 10-year-old granddaughter, sharp as she is, I wouldn't let her fly the plane.
Right.
I wouldn't let her. Right. You know, so here's the thing.
When your life is guided by whimsy,
Hey, listen, when
intelligence,
you know, right? When she was 9 years old and she's playing with a doll and she's talking, you know, she's got this fantasy dream going on, you know, all the kids, like the 3-year-old. So here's the thing. But let's take it to the next step. All right. So now you have, we established, and I think most people will believe this, that a child cannot make the decisions or shouldn't make the decisions, or at least they need a tremendous amount of help.
That was a good thing I said though.
Okay.
If your life is governed and directed by whimsy.
Right.
You should not be making any decisions that would last the rest of your life.
Okay, so now the next thing. So the next thing. Let's just keep this abortion thing because it's like it's a lot easier than it's transgender stuff.
Okay,
so now the girl's pregnant, wants to keep the baby. The parents don't. Okay? Now, the child can't make, you know, it's tough. But should the parents be able to say and drag her down and make her have an abortion? Mm. Now, this is where it gets a little, and these are life-changing things. So here's my point. Then at this situation, should the government get involved? All right? And then if the government gets involved, you know, and they make the decision, then the parents have to handle it. I'll give you some shades. Just hold on that, because I know you're thinking. Now, I was a doctor. I was in my residency, and this kid came in. He was involved in a horrific car accident, and he lost a lot of blood, and he needed to be transfused before we brought him to the operating room. And the parents were Jehovah's Witness, and they refused the transfusion. Right. And I wasn't making decisions at the time, but I was, you know, I was acutely involved in his treatment. We went in, the hospital went and got a judge's order real quick, and we were able to give the kid a transfusion against the parents' advice or wishes. I don't remember what the child wanted at that time, but I tell you what, I don't think it really mattered in our mind because we were like, listen, child don't know, you know, it's not, you know, it was the parents. So a situation, you know, that's life-threatening. So then you could go back and say, okay, so it could be based on how dangerous it is. So follow me on this one because it gets complicated. Yeah, abortion or not, a child or not, most likely you're not going to die from a baby, you know, having born, but it's a life thing. If abortion is not going to kill you either. Gender-affirming treatment can be quite devastating, okay? So getting back... It depends on, my point is, it depends on what you're talking about and what situation it is. But I think that, in my opinion, abortion, gender-affirming treatment, the parents should be a big part of the decision.
Right.
And if the parents and the child can't come to an understanding, okay, then I think it's a time to bring it in front of a judge. But it shouldn't be where the state just jumps in. When I say the judge, as I know it's the state, but I'm talking about it, you know, not a necessarily the state health department comes in and says, okay, the kid's going to have an abortion or the kid's not going to have an abortion.
Right.
You know, or the kid's going to have gender affirming treatment or not. So I go back to my premise. These are tough questions. You have a hard time.
Oh, yeah.
But now... There's a 14th Amendment. There's a section in there where you have rights. Does a 7-year-old have rights as the same rights as an adult? Probably yes. So if the 8-year-old wants to have the baby or wants to have an abortion, do you have a right to stop it as a parent? I'll give you another one. I'm going to leave you with these open-ended questions. Does the fetus have any rights? At 15 weeks, at 20 weeks, at 22 weeks, could survive outside. So, you know, can you abort a baby that's, you know, could be viable outside the womb? These are tough questions, Jeremy.
Yeah,
were you looking at?
I'm struggling to find it. I can't find it.
What was it?
I remember when I was a kid and there was a movie out and it was very young, Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she was suing her parents or something. It was based on a true story, supposedly. Do you remember this movie at all? It was like 70s.
No, but I remember kids were suing their parents for certain things. I remember they could sue.
Yeah, and it was a big media. Yeah.
Maybe for autonomy. Maybe they were for money. Maybe
So I mean, it's not like an old
concept.
Thing. Yeah. I think what it's about, it means more now because back then we weren't talking about babies and we weren't talking about, you know, transgenderism or anything like that. But there were still, you know, kids still had beefs, you know, that they brought before judges and stuff.
These are complicated questions. But I if you look at one of our shows we talked about, because in New Jersey right now, if you're 12, 13, you could have your own abortion. I mean, you could consent.
Yeah.
The age of consent for sex is 16. So a 16-year-old boy or girl could have sex with anybody they want. and it's not against the law. They want to bring that down to 13. They, you know, like, so I guess at 16 you could consent to puberty blockers, you know?
You know, like what, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we were like gobsmacked if we heard about somebody's 13-year-old daughter getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
In, you know, in the life we lived, it, yeah, that stuff just didn't happen. Now they want to lower, yeah, all of that and make, yeah, it like a commonplace thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, I kids are having sex a lot younger. You know,
see, a lot of this stuff is like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like we lived a great time, you know, and we didn't, yeah, have to deal with any of this stuff.
Yeah, well, now you do.
So why? Yeah, but why?
Well, here's the thing: because the kids are coming up pregnant. They're 12, 13 years old, they're pregnant.
Would we be here if there were no social media?
Well, according to your mayor, that's the exact problem, and he wants to get rid of it. He wants to restrict it. So now you just fell into that trap. Okay.
No, but see, I if that's the case, all right, listen.
But who's going to decide what?
I'm one where I don't want somebody flipping through every little thing that comes along. If we're going to lose our freedoms with it, then take it away altogether. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Mm. You know, I can live without TikTok. I can live without...
That's you, yeah, yeah.
A lot,
yeah,
of that, yeah, stuff. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to take the genie out of the bottle. I think that eventually the technology is going to get where everybody's going to have access to a cell phone or the internet. I mean, you could knock out the internets with missiles. Einstein said World War III, I don't know how it's going to be fought, but World War IV is going to be fought with sticks and stones. But, you know, I was just reading this article where, pretty interesting, people out in Africa and these, you know, very poor countries, they don't have access to a bank. It's not like if, you know, you're in Ethiopia or, you know, wherever, and you need, you're selling a cow and I want to buy it, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't write you a check. You know, there's no bank around. I could have some money in my hand, you know, but that's a pain in the ass too, carrying around, you know, a bunch of money. I could have it, you know, in a safe somewhere. So what they did is, and this has been around for a while, everybody has a cell phone. Even though these people are poor as shit, everybody in the world has a cell phone, right? Yeah. So what you do is you have the banking on a cell phone. It's some kind of app. So there's no, you know, you don't have the money. You have credits in there. Right. You know, somewhere along you put like 20 credits in there. And so I want to buy the mule. I go on the app. You go on the app. I transfer you, you know, 10 rubles or whatever.
Venmo it.
Moets or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And then Venmo. Now you got it. Yeah. And I don't need a bank. I don't need nothing. So technology is changing the whole way we live. So now you have people who could, you know, actually, you know, live and do stuff. But getting back to this thing, in the United States, we do have the Constitution, and you have rights. And so right now the battle is going to be on is people who are under 18, what kind of rights do they have? Do you still have the same civil rights if you're 7 as opposed if you're 27? And like, so like you want to make a decision right now. You're a grown man. You don't have to get your parents to sign off. You don't have to get anybody to sign off unless you're mentally incompetent. But anybody under 18 has to. Now, some of the laws are changing. In New Jersey, if you're under 18 and you want to get an abortion, you don't have to have anybody consent. Right. If you want to have gender treatment, I think 16. And, you know, where does it end? You know, and same thing like with, say, you have a 12-year-old kid who, you know, walks up to you and blows your brains out. Are they going to charge him with adult and send him to the electric chair or the gas chamber? Or because he's young, they're going to cut him a break. You know, it goes on and on and on. We have to answer these questions. And you make a good point. There is no easy answer here. Yeah. But the gender affirming, the gender dysphoria has brought this up to the surface now. It's been always festering there. You know,
Yeah.
Like you're saying. And I don't know the answer to it.
That's step too far where everybody's paying attention.
Well,
you know,
because now, you know, you have an abortion. Yeah, you kill a baby. And I think that's terrible. Or you don't have an abortion. You have a baby. But that could be a lifelong thing. But I tell you one thing, having gender affirming treatment, if that's not what was the best thing for you, you know, you have a medical issue now. I mean, you're basically in menopause. I mean, you know, you have these surgeries don't always come out as well as they can. I know people who had it and they're very happy, you know, so, but they're older and, you know, they've really proved, I think, that they have gender dysphoria. Yeah. But I just want to make a point. You have the medical profession right now battling, because we're a medical show here. There is people, the new guy ahead of the AMA is all for gender affirming treatment. I looked at his bio. He's openly gay. He lives with a guy and he's married to a man. But he served in the military. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that. No. But that's another thing. I'm very interested in people who are gay who support transgender surgery, because being gay is not transgender. It's a total different thing.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And I think that the literature that I read, a lot of these people who have gender dysphoria when they're very young, wind up really to be gay when they're 19, 20, 21, 22. They decide, and what their issues were that they were gay, not transgender. And now if you're just gay and you had all that surgery, well, now you're screwed.
You're screwed, yeah.
You know, because, and that's why
You screwed yourself before you even knew what gay was.
Right, and that's why I would like to see the gay community. I haven't really read too much about it, what they think on this, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if most of them said,
wait a little bit, maybe.
Wait a little bit.
Right.
Back off. You've got your whole life ahead of you.
Right.
You know?
And the same thing with, abortion. If the girl wants to have a baby and she's 12 years old and the parents don't want it, I'd say, listen, let's get counseling, go to the priest, you know, talk to different people. If it ultimately the parents and the child can't come to an agreement, either for an abortion or against abortion, mm-hmm. should the state get involved? Should a judge get involved? And, you know, I think that, that's probably what's going to have to happen in these cases. You know, maybe that's the best way to go.
I mean, no matter how much the world has changed, some of our basic lessons we've learned and we keep repeating to ourselves over and over again, like to err is human.
Right.
You know, things like that we need to fall back on.
Right.
You know, like, so, yeah. You can make those mistakes, uh-huh. and it is human to make them, but realize that there are consequences for yourself, no one else.
How you feel about it
down the line. Yeah. And that, I think, is what everybody's fighting for. We're not fighting for how I think about things.
Yeah.
We're fighting for what the tomorrow you will think about it.
Yeah. You know, I always think about, you know, back in, if you look in the Bible, the Old Testament, you know, you talk about, you know, they bring the people to the judges, you know, mm-hmm. the judges, the rabbi, whatever. And so there's the one story I always thought was pretty interesting. And we could close with this because it's, you know. Yeah, so sure. Two women were, there was a baby, and these two women, one said, this is my baby. The other woman said, it's her baby. And I don't know, you know, what the circumstances that led to that.
I know what the story is.
So they brought the baby, rabbi, the judge, and he said, you know, she goes, that's my baby. And the other girl, lady, said, that's my baby. He says, okay, fine. We'll chop the baby in half and give you one half. And the woman who was her baby, you know, said, no. And the other one's go ahead. So, you know, the judge said, well, that's her baby. You know, that's how we figured it out. I think that when you have these situations where there's really no good answer one way or the other, I think you need to have it individual. Every case should be individual. Mm. And I don't think the state of New Jersey or state of any state should have one shoe fits all and has the ability to come in and say, this is what it is, pass a law.
So much counseling is needed.
Right.
And not just with the counseling, the counseling teaching you to see it from different points of view instead of just the one that you're sitting there complacent.
Right.
Thinking about, you need to see this from other angles. So you've done your homework. You did everything you could to know it's just for you.
Yeah.
But you have to fall back on that old knowledge.
Yes.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very wisdom, very wise words. And on that, Jeremy, we'll leave you have the last word. I'm Dr. Kaczmar, Michael Kaczmar, Jeremy. Jeremy, can you put up my webpage? I mean, not my webpage. Jersey Shore. Well, where they call. So our email is, first of all, we have a webpage, jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. That's jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. If you want to send us an email, it's drkaczmar@icloud.com. That's drcatchmariCloud.com. Jeremy's doing the work there. We're going to sign off today. Hopefully, we'll do this every week. We're on Rumble, we're on Facebook,
wherever fine podcasts are found, you will find us.
And we're on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Everyone, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Jeremy, send us out.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you.